A pear tree heavy with green hard fruit stands next to Buster and Gail Austin's farmhouse. Hummingbirds hover and sip from a red feeder hanging off the front porch. Beneath it, a white tabby cat dozes this hot summer morning.
It's hot. It's very hot. It's already 80, 86 or so. Uh-oh.
That's Gail Austin commenting on the heat.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, for a teenager, I'm pretty good.
Teenager?
Well, if I live to the 20th of October, I'll be 100 years old.
A big family reunion and celebration is planned, of course. Buster's very proud to turn 100, as he should be, surviving the Great Depression, a world war, the Great Recession, and now climate change.
I've seen it get dry, you know, but it didn't last this long.
Buster reports this firsthand because he continues to farm the land.
Yeah, I'm still doing it. I cut hay, bale hay, whatever I want to do. If I'm wound up on top of this house, I'd just go up there.
Buster's grandma, born 1827, lived to age 97. Longevity runs in the family. We settle in around the kitchen table over black coffee, but first off, who would name a child Buster?
And my dad, first time he seen me, he just said, we'll nickname him Buster. And that's what I went by. I'm just plain old Buster.
Buster was one of seven children, four boys and three girls, born to James Austin and Florence Hilburn Austin, just south of here, on Penitentiary Mountain, in the Kings River watershed, between Huntsville and Kingston. His parents homesteaded a large parcel here in the late 1800s. And James Austin was among 1.6 million Americans in 30 states who would stake land claims under the Homestead Act, signed into law by President Abraham Lincoln in 1862. Individuals could obtain title to 160-acre parcels for free if they lived continuously on the land for 5 years and improved it by building homes and growing crops. Blake Bell's a historian at the Homestead National Monument in Beatrice, Nebraska. He said the purpose of the act was to turn unproductive land into productive farms.
And the Homestead Act was a way to not only turn that land into productive farms, but get it into the people's hands, get land into the people's hands, into settlers' hands, and give people an opportunity to have a vested interest in their own economic futures.
Heads of household, both men and women, along with African Americans with the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1866 and the 14th Amendment, were privy.
American Indians initially were not able to homestead because they were not considered citizens of the United States, and part of the legislation said you had to be a citizen or intend to become a citizen, and it wasn't until the 1920s that American Indians were granted full citizenship, at which point they were allowed to homestead.
In several ironies, tribal lands occupied by indigenous Americans forcibly removed were offered up for grabs to homesteaders. And after 11 states, which had seceded from the Union, stood in opposition to the Homestead Act, wanting to maintain their slave-centric plantation economies, caused the measure to easily pass Congress.
Yeah, the Homestead Act was in effect for 123 years. This is one of the most enduring pieces of legislation in the United States. Began in 1862 and ran all the way through 1976 in the lower 48 states, 1986 in Alaska. So Alaska got provisions for 10 more years. The homesteaders who did participate received 270 million acres of land, which equates to a little over 10% of the United States.
In Arkansas, 75,000 homesteaders found claims on more than 8 million acres, or nearly one quarter of this state. Back in Madison County in the late 1800s, Buster Austin's father, James, had cleared 20 acres and built rail fencing for livestock, leaving 300 acres timbered. But the parcel lacked enough water. So when Buster was born, the family moved down creek to his grandparents' 160-acre farm. And when he was a small boy, Buster said he amused himself with bluff climbing.
I've climbed it where it's nearly as tall as the trees.
No ropes?
No rope, nothing, just climbing. One need a rope for.
Ex- extreme sport climbing circa 1925, but his idyllic childhood was cut short when his father died in 1926 from tuberculosis, a complication from the 1918 flu epidemic. Buster was 14.
And back then, you either made it or died. And my mom got me and Orrin together, and she said, "Boys, I can't tell you what to do. But said, you just make it and I'll cook it."
So the boys plowed the garden, growing corn, potatoes, and beans, kept fruit trees, and slaughtered meat. They supplemented by purchasing stores of flour and sugar. To earn money, Buster and his brothers would slice up white oak slabs for staves to make barrels, hauling the wood several miles east to Kingston.
You couldn't get a truck up in here. The road was too rough. It was just in one mud hole and out of another.
And in the creek.
And I told my brother we had a couple of good mules, and he was hauling. I said, "I can drive them mules, and you can work something else." He agreed to it, and I quit school and went driving them mules. And I'd leave before daylight in the wintertime, and I'd come back after dark. And in the wintertime, I'd have to hunt me up a rock or something and beat the ice off the snaps on the underrunners on the mules, get the harness off of them. We had to come right up the creek. It's a pretty rough time, you know, for a kid.
The Depression eventually forced Buster to leave the Ozarks to earn money doing migrant work. During the war, he worked in the munitions industry on the West Coast. But he's always returned to Madison County. Buster and Gail have been married only 13 years. He's her third husband. She's buried two others. And she's his second wife. He first wed Versie Dotson more than 70 years ago. They raised corn and oats and hay, but no offspring.
You know what kids is good for? Take your money and put you in the rest home.
Buster's second wife, Gail, is 85, but looks to be much younger. She has three kids. She retired this year from a career in nursing. She said she and Buster connected at the local senior center, but have known each other all their lives.
See, we were born a quarter of a mile apart, not in the same year, because he's 14 years older than me. But I've always known him.
She and Buster are a perfect match, fit, energetic, and still very much tied to the land. Buster inherited 200 acres of his family's land. His brother Orrin inherited 160. Orrin's passed away, but his son Danny Austin and his wife Darlene live and farm on it nearby.
I've heard stories all my life of things that they've done, and it feels great to be follow up in the footsteps of my ancestors.
Danny says his grandfather's homestead was purchased several years ago by a Benton County native by the name of Jim Walton, heir to the Walmart fortune. He and Buster, though, will continue to live on and farm their ancestral homeland. And by the way, what is Buster's secret to a long, healthy life?
Just don't want to die. That's the last thing I want to do. No, I don't know why. It's tough, I reckon.
Homesteading on the Ozarks? We'll do that to a body. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.